This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Let's take our Bibles and turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be in the same place we were this morning, just a little different focus. Although if you're here this morning, it'll really help with getting a little better grasp on where we're headed tonight. So I believe, just for context sake, we'll begin reading in verse 1 down to verse 4, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 13 and 14. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So notice three things in that verse, and we'll focus on verse 4 tonight. Another Jesus, not the real Jesus. Another spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Another gospel, not the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. So we'll focus on those three things tonight, but let's go down there to verse 13, and this is more on how the devil goes about his work. We learned this morning that it's subtle, it's beguiling, deceitful. So take a look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Notice in both those verses, both those verses, you have false apostles that look like what? In that verse 13, you have false apostles that look like what? The apostles of Christ. And then Satan is transformed into something that he is not. What is it? Angel of light. So we'll really park in verse 4 tonight. Let's pray before we get into this. Lord, again, we read your word, and it is powerful, and it tells us the truth. And I want to pray once again, Lord, that you would just take these words and your Holy Spirit would just reveal truth to us tonight. Help us to see things in our lives, in this world, that we need to see, and would make things very clear to us so that we are not deceived by the devil. We see things clearly as you want us to. And I pray that error would be exposed and truth would go forth this evening and you do your work among us. Pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, thank you. You'll need that. Several years ago, true story, in Kentucky, I believe this is 2001, a man walked into a Dairy Queen, placed his order, and paid for it with a $200 bill. The cashier gave him $190 plus in change and drove away. Sometime later in the day, the manager noticed that something did not seem right about this $200 bill. Maybe because it had a picture of then-President George Bush on one side, or maybe it was the picture of the White House on the back with an oil well in front and funny signs in the lawn. Police were able to track down the man, and he was arrested for theft by deception. That's a counterfeit. There's no such thing as a $200 bill. My dad always says he'll refer to something as phony as a $4 bill. You ever hear that saying? No such thing as a $4 bill. So just as there is no such thing as a $200 bill or a $4 bill, and if you use those things, you would be trying to deceive the one who takes it. The devil's in the same business, folks. He is the great counterfeiter. So once again there, if you look at verse 4, the devil is in the business of revealing another Jesus, whom, this is Paul, whom we have not preached, and we shouldn't be preaching either, another spirit, whom you've not received, and another gospel, which you've not accepted. And he's in the business of appearing one way and appearing to be the true way, but he's not. Now, how is it that you can deceive people by appearing to be the genuine article, but not be the genuine article? You can make it so that you look like the genuine article in so many ways, but if you take a really close look, you'll find some flaws. So the devil's in this business of being subtle, being deceptive. The word there in verse 3 is beguiling. And we want to make sure, I hope that as a result tonight, you'll be armed so that you are not deceived, you're not duped, you're not trapped in this deceptive world that the devil's involved in. So if you would, go over to Isaiah 14, keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians, we'll be back, but go to Isaiah 14, show you a little bit about the work of the devil. Isaiah chapter 14, and let's see what kind of business he's involved in. This is the only place in your Bible where Lucifer's mentioned, if you have a King James Bible, I might add. Not in all your Bibles, all the other translations. But if you'll take a look there, Isaiah 14, look down there at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Notice that word above, about after throne. What is it? I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now watch verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Last phrase. I will be, what's that word? I will be like the Most High. What's the devil involved in, folks? Being like God. But he's not God. He is the little g god. He's the little g god of this world. But he is in the business of appearing as God, appearing as all the things associated with God, but he is not. And he's a master of deceit. So back there in 2 Corinthians, you saw another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. So I'll just take each one of those. Those will be our 3 points tonight. Let's take a moment and talk about another Jesus. So I'll tell you this. The world's Jesus is not the Bible's Jesus. The world has a Jesus that is nothing like the Jesus Christ of the Bible, the one true Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you a few things about the world's Jesus. The world's Jesus is your buddy. You can call him dude or bro, just as he was your best friend. And I saw a t-shirt some time ago that said, Jesus is my homeboy. Now, when you see stuff like that, that is just a great lack of reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ and who he really is. Now, at the same time, he is your friend. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, amen? But he's a friend that I will reverence because he's not just any ordinary friend. He's God in the flesh. So what I did here is I took some historical examples of people who've come along throughout history claiming that they are Jesus Christ. Folks, they were not Jesus Christ. There's only one Jesus Christ. So I got quite a list here, and I'll go through a few of these. I pulled up a list of 20th century people that have claimed to be Jesus Christ. And then below that, they had another list of 21st century, and I'm not going to go through all of them. Picked a few out of the 20th century here. So the first one is a man named Lou De Palingbor, 1898 to 1968. The founder and figurehead of a new religious movement in the Netherlands, who claimed to be, quote, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, end quote. Folks, Lou De Palingbor was not Jesus Christ. Did you know? All these on my list here tricked people into thinking that they were Jesus Christ because they had followers thinking that I'm following Jesus Christ. And obviously they were not. Here's another one. Ernest Norman, 1904 to 1971. An American electrical engineer who co-founded the Unarius Academy of Science in 1954. He claimed to be Jesus in a past life, and his earthly incarnation was as an archangel named Raphael. You know a little bit about the Apocrypha. Raphael is an angel in the Apocrypha. I would not put any stake in Raphael being the genuine article or even a real angel. But this man, Ernest Norman, claimed to be the reincarnation of other notable figures, including Confucius, Mona Lisa, Benjamin Franklin, Socrates, Queen Elizabeth I, Tsar Peter the Great, and Krishna Venta. So notice all those famous people. How did he get to be reincarnated into just famous people? So that's a sham if I've ever heard one. That's not the real Jesus Christ. All right, here's another one. You're probably familiar with this one. Sung Young Moon. 1920 to 2012, just passed away a few years ago. Believed by members of the Unification Church to be the Messiah and the second coming of Christ. Fulfilling Jesus' unfinished mission. I thought that the Lord said on the cross, it is finished. So that shows that he's not the real deal right there. Church members known as Unificationists considered Sung Young Moon and his wife, Hak Jahan, to be the true parents of humankind as the restored Adam and Eve. Now this gets nutty, folks, but do you know the thousands and thousands and thousands of followers of these people that believed this is the real Jesus Christ? Here's another one you might be familiar with, Jim Jones, 1931 to 1978, founder of the People's Temple. Started off as an offshoot of a mainstream Protestant sect before becoming a personality cult as time went on. He claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus, Buddha, Vladimir Lenin, and Father Divine of the 70s. And you know a little bit about Jim Jones. He organized a mass murder-suicide at Jonestown, Guyana, November 18, 1978, where all his followers passed away at one time, and then he shot himself after all that was done. Here's another one that's recent. Marshall Applewhite, that name ring a bell? 1931 to 1997. American who posted a message online declaring, quote, "I, Jesus, Son of God, acknowledge on this date of September 25th, 26, 1995, and there's more to it, but end of quote. Applewhite and his Heaven's Gate religious group committed mass suicide on March 26th. 1997, to rendezvous with what they thought was a spaceship hiding behind the comet Hale-Bopp. You remember that? Interesting how those last two ended in mass suicide. And what's sad about that is they had followers willing to do anything that the leader, Jim Jones or Marshall Applewhite, told them to do, and they did it. Be careful who you're following. That was none. Neither one of those men were the real Jesus Christ, so they claimed to be. Here's another one, David Koresh, Branch Davidians, 1959 to 1993, the leader of the Branch Davidian sect in Waco, Texas. Though he never claimed to be Jesus himself, he did proclaim that he was the Son of God, the Lamb, with a capital L, in 1983. So he may as well have said he was Jesus Christ. And then the FBI and the ATF raided his compound in 1993, and 54 adults, 21 children were burned to the ground. Sad, sad situation there, but people followed him all the way to death. Here's another one, Alan John Miller, still alive, 1962 and still alive today, more commonly known as A.J. Miller, former Jehovah's Witness elder and current leader of Australia-based Divine Truth Movement. He claims to be Jesus Christ reincarnated with others in the 20th century to spread messages called Divine Truth. And now get this part. He delivers messages and seminars in various forms of media, along with his current partner, Mary Suzanne Luck, who identifies herself as the returned Mary Magdalene. Can it get any more bizarre? I could go on. I got several I skipped here, but that's enough. You have all through history people claiming to be Jesus Christ, and they were not Jesus Christ. So turn over to Matthew 16, and let's find out a few things about the true, the real Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16. I'll tell you a couple things here about the world. The world Jesus Christ, I said, wants to be buddies with you. And I'll tell you another thing about the Jesus Christ of the world. You notice something about the Jesus Christ that the world likes? He's very effeminate. You ever notice that? Most of the pictures that are painted of Jesus Christ, he does not look like a real man. And again, that's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Amen. And the world's Jesus Christ is also, he's okay with your sin. He wants to be your buddy, so he's okay with whatever you do. The Jesus Christ of the Bible rebukes sin. In fact, he went to the cross because of our sin. So a lot different here. So let's take a look at Matthew 16, and this is the account with Peter asking, "Whom do men say that I am?" Take a look down there at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art, what's that next word? Thou art the Christ with a capital C, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, when you see that article, is that an indefinite or definite article, Cher? It's an article, either way, the. Anyway, it's an article in parts of speech. When you see the, that is an indication of there's only one. Yes, and only one single. The Ohio State University, if you ever notice, they pride themselves on being not Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, because there's only one true Ohio State University. Anybody else would be an imitation of Ohio State University. You ever notice how the logos today that we have, they have a TM down somewhere on the logo that means trademark, which means it cannot be copied. And if you look really close, there's been times where people have tried to fake logos. And if you look close, you can tell the fakes from the real deal. And I can tell you, a good one is Coca-Cola. You know when you're looking at Coca-Cola because their logo is obvious, right? Another one is the Golden Arches. You could tell the real Golden Arches from the fake, right? You've seen it enough. So I say that because there's only one Jesus Christ. Notice the Christ. Go over to Matthew 24 and show you something about this. The Christ. Matthew 24, look at verse 24. And this is the Lord Himself speaking, and He says down there in 24. Actually, back up to verse 24:23. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So notice the false Christ. I just gave you a list of a few. There's a whole lot more that have come and gone through the years. Go over to Luke chapter 2. More on this thing about there's only one true Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 2. You'll probably be familiar with this when we get over here. There's a man named Simeon. Right after the Lord is born, after Jesus Christ is born, and he is able to see Jesus Christ before he dies. If you go down to verse 225, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen, look at the wording, the Lord's Christ, indicating that there's another Christ that is not the Lord's Christ. What kind of Christ would that be? What we see in Matthew 24. That'd be a false Christ. That's very interesting wording right there. The Lord's Christ. There's only one. Go to Acts chapter 1. Here's just kind of putting all these scriptures together. Try to build something here about there only being one true Lord Jesus Christ. And the world, you want to make sure that if anybody in this world tells you about Jesus Christ, they're talking about the real Jesus Christ of the Bible. So go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, down there in verse 10. And it says down there in verse 10, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, this is right after the Lord ascended, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven, up into heaven? This, what's that next word? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So which Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, folks? The exact same one, and there's only one that went up. Now put that together with verse 20, go to chapter 2 of Acts, verse 36. 236. Acts 236, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. And again, I just tell you all those verses to show there's only one. Folks, the only way that you'll be able to tell another Jesus from the true Lord Jesus Christ of your Bible is you better get to know closely the real Lord Jesus Christ, the one of the Bible. So another Jesus is identified by doing a comparison. And what you'll find out is if one little thing doesn't match up with the Jesus Christ of the Bible, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at another Jesus. Stay away from another Jesus. Make sure you are following the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Just yesterday I heard a man who I believe is saved talking about Jesus in such a way, the way he was talking was Jesus in such a way that I thought to myself, that's not the same Jesus I know. And it was very, to save a long story, it was very casual. And I don't like it when people talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in a casual manner, because, like I said, he's your friend, but he's also God in the flesh, right? So with that in mind, let's go over to John chapter 1, and let's find out about the real Jesus Christ, and that's actually the end of the first point. Let's talk about that next thing there in 2 Corinthians 11. We had another Jesus, and what was the second thing, remember? Another spirit, and this will actually go hand in hand with another Jesus. You'll see why in a minute. So if you look at spirits in the Bible, I got a short list of just a few of the spirits that are not the Spirit of God. Folks, how many spirits of God do you have? You have one true Holy Spirit of God, correct? Here's a few others that are not the Holy Spirit of God in the Bible. There are unclean spirits. There's lying spirits. There are, we saw this one this morning, seducing spirits. There's a familiar spirit. There's a spirit of divination. There's a perverse spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit, the spirit of error, and the spirit of Antichrist, which we'll get to in just a moment. None of these are the Holy Spirit, but they are often disguised as if they are the Holy Spirit. I would call all the ones I listed, and there's many more that are not on the list, I would call all those, I put all those in the category of another spirit. So, you see where I'm going here in a moment. Go to John 1, and you're probably familiar with these verses, but you'll hopefully see why I'm going here first in just a moment. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you should have three times in that verse a capital W, Word. You see that? So let's get a little information from that verse. When was the Word, folks? In the beginning. Was the Word with God? Yes. Let's go a little further. The Word was God. So I would write down Word, capital W, O-R-D, equals God. You with me on that? That's what it says. The Word is synonymous with God, capital G God, one true God. Now go down to verse 14. 1:14. And the Word, there it is again, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what happened there in verse 14? God became what? A man. God became flesh. Are you with me on that? I believe Jesus Christ, when he was here 2,000 years ago, he walked the earth. He is God in the flesh. With that in mind, go to 1 John 4. Easy to remember these. Just remember John and the numbers 1 and 4, and you put all these together. Really interesting how this works. Go to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll connect this thing about the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 4. All right, go over there, 1 John 4, look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every... All right, so there's more than one spirit. Keep going. It says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. All right, just from that verse there, how many spirits are there? There's a lot. I couldn't tell you a number. There's a lot. There's a whole lot more than one. And it says that we are to do what with those spirits, folks? It tells you in verse 1, we are to try the spirits so that you will know what? Whether it is of God. Correct? Now, how do you know when you try the spirits? What's the test? Verse 2 gives you some insight on this. 2 and 3, actually. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Okay, when you try the spirits, if the Spirit says that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that is a spirit that is of God. Now, let's connect the dots here. Going back to John 1, you saw that the Word became flesh. So, Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, what we're saying there is Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That is the teaching of the Word of God. You with me on that? Now, going down there to verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So now John wrote this around, 80, 90 AD, and he said back then, what was already in the world? The spirit of Antichrist. You think it's still in the world? So here's what the devil is busy doing right now. He's mingling another spirit, oh yes, and in churches, making people think that that other spirit is the Holy Spirit, and it's not. How do you know if it's the Holy Spirit or another spirit? The test is right there, folks, in verses 2 and 3. If the spirit, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So here's how you tell a cult from something that is biblically sound. A cult is going to have a twisted view of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So here's what I've done this evening. I've taken 7 different cults. And I'll get to a couple you may not think are cults, but I'm going to call them cults because I will say that a cult is any teaching that is contrary to the Word of God. So don't get angry when I get, there's a couple here that say, that's not really a cult. I'm calling it a cult because it's not lined up with the Word of God. So I'm going to go through 7 of these. And don't worry, they're short. But there's 7 of these that I took their teaching on who they say Jesus Christ is. And what we're going to do is all of us, if you're willing to participate, after I read what they believe, you will say, Spirit of God or not? And if it's not Spirit of God, what is it? What the Bible say right here? It is the spirit of Antichrist. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground here. It's either Spirit of God or the spirit of Antichrist. So here we go. Let's start off with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's what they teach. Here's what they believe. Jesus is not God. Before he lived on earth, he was Michael the Archangel. On earth, he was a man that lived a perfect life, but he's not God in the flesh. Let's give it the test. Spirit of God, spirit of Antichrist. They teach false doctrine, folks. You need to understand, when you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they will say a lot of things about Jesus Christ that are true. But if you nail them down on what they really believe about him, they do not believe that he's God in the flesh. That takes away from the deity of Jesus Christ. So understand the teaching there. That's the spirit of Antichrist. All right, here's number 2. Here's Mormonism. Here's what they teach. Jesus is separate from God the Father. He's a separate God. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven, and is the elder brother of all men and spirit beings. And I might add also, he's the brother of Lucifer, according to them. Mormonism, let's put it to the test, folks. Spirit of God, spirit of Antichrist. Sure is. That is not of God, folks. So 0-2 there with these cults. I'm going to be real short on this one. Scientology. The reason I bring this one up is if you go across the state to Clearwater, Florida, it is the very possibly, help me out, Brother Don, worldwide headquarters of the Church of Scientology. Our friend who lives over there, he says it's just crazy. The power that church, they call themselves a church, has in that community over there in Clearwater. So here's Scientology. Ready? They don't say a lot about Jesus, though. I'll just put it short. Jesus did not die for your sins. Let's just put it plain. So if he didn't die for your sins, he's nobody important to them, is he? All right, spirit of God, spirit of Antichrist. 0-3 here. How about Mary Baker Eddy, the Christian Science movement? Here we go. This is what they believe. Jesus was not the Christ. I'll stop there. I'll read the rest, but I'll just stop there. Spirit of God, spirit of Antichrist. Clear as a bell. Jesus was not the Christ, but a man that displayed the Christ idea, perfection. Jesus was not God, and God can never become man or flesh. That is heavy, spirit of Antichrist. We're 0 for 4 on these cults so far. Let's try the, what's that? Christian Science movement. Christian Science, yeah. Different from Scientology. They have the reading, they used to be real popular, not so much anymore, but they used to have the reading, Christian Science reading rooms all over the place. Not so much, see those much anymore. How about the New Age movement? And I'm lumping a bunch together on this one. So here's the New Age movement. Jesus was not the one true God, not a savior, but a spiritual model, a guru, and is now an ascended master. He's a New Ager that tapped into divine power. He did not rise from the dead physically, but, quote, rose into a higher spiritual realm. Now, that's a very important one for you to be aware of, because that New Age philosophy and teaching has made its way into churches heavily today. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about the resurrection and how it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a physical, it was a bodily resurrection. That teaching right there says it's not. It says he ascended to a higher spiritual realm. All right, so New Age movement, Spirit of God, Spirit of Antichrist. Thank you. I like the enthusiasm there. Now we have two left. These are the two that most people would not consider cultish, but let's examine them. Islam. Here's what they believe. Jesus, or Isa in Arabic, is one of the most respected of over 124,000 prophets sent by Allah. He was sinless and born of a virgin, a great miracle worker, but not the Son of God. They're close, aren't they? You got a few things right. Islam, Spirit of God, Spirit of Antichrist. You see, now, if you really, I'm giving you just the bare bones of what these people teach. If you really dove in, I encourage you to do the research so you're aware. Just be careful as you dive in. Be very careful. As you go and look at what they believe on a little deeper level, you'll find out that some of the things they say about Jesus Christ are accurate. And they'll be accurate here on several different points, but we just read how to tell the difference. They deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Therefore, they are not of God. Folks, this thing about another spirit is infiltrating, oh yes, even Baptist churches today. And this is off the subject, but I need to mention this. You know how you can see it manifested in the churches today? It's done with the subtlety of music. Stir you up emotionally so that you think, this must be of God. And the songs that are sung, because I've been around this enough to hear this, the songs that are sung make mention of He and Him, and maybe even Jesus. You'll have a hard time finding those modern-day songs that say, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Most of those songs are referring to another Jesus. And the motivation behind them is another spirit. Folks, I tell you about this. I need to be warned about this as much as anybody. We all do. Be careful. Be very careful. The Bible commands us here in 1 John to try the spirits. And you're told about what tests to give them. So now you know how you can determine the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Okay, here's the last one here. It's so sad for me to even bring this one up because Sherry and I have been around this a lot. This is Judaism. Jesus is seen either as an extremist false messiah or a good martyred Jewish rabbi. Many Jews do not consider Jesus at all, but you can put all of them in the same camp in not believing that he's the Son of God and that he's not come in the flesh. He's not God in the flesh. So I hate to even mention that in connection with all these cults, but folks, that is the teaching of a spirit that is not of God. And as much as I love those Jewish people, so many of them have been duped into thinking that the real Lord Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. And therefore, they're still looking for the Messiah. And they will be duped by another Jesus in the tribulation, connected with another spirit and another gospel. And so many of them will be duped into believing in the wrong Jesus Christ. So go over to 1 Timothy 3. I thought this was interesting. Now, I say that this has made its way into our churches. Here's another way. That this false teaching of this other Jesus has made its way into churches. I mentioned this morning about how the devil's interested in using Christians. He goes to work on Christians. And he tries to get your mind all confused. In fact, the verse actually said, 2 Corinthians 11:3 said, he wants to corrupt your mind. And I'll show you one way that he's done this. Now go to 1 Timothy 3:16. And here we are fanatics about the King James Bible. Well, I thought we were. Here we're fanatics about the King James Bible. Amen. There we go. And the reason why, here's why. We believe that the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God in that every word of God in this Bible is pure and should be there. Now watch why I say that. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16 in your King James Bible. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The next word, what is it, folks? Please tell me what it is. Okay, do you have a capital G there? Amen. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, John 1:1, John 1:14, 1 John 4:1-4, it all goes along with that verse there. God manifest in the flesh. Are you with me? That verse says, capital G, God was manifest in the flesh. That is the teaching of the true Word of God. Now, here's what I did. I pulled up a little search. I took three modern translations, 1 Timothy 3:16, and you will see that the devil has done quite a job on changing one word and making it so that the teaching of this verse becomes the teaching of another spirit. Watch the wording. Now look at your Bible as I read and see how it matches or does not match up. Here is the English Standard Version, and I do this one first on purpose. This is the, according to most Christian evangelicals, the hot new version that they all like. And if you notice, if you follow the trends here, I'm old enough to see this, and some of you folks have seen the same thing. You've seen the in the early 80s, the NIV showed up on the scene, and it was the hot new version. And it was the hot new version for some time, and then the New American Standard actually was already on the scene, and your more scholarly people thought the New American Standard was the best translation. And I'll actually talk about that one in a minute. And then New American Standard, NIV, for a long time, then early 80s, the New King James came along, and it was the very popular version. And now here we are in the year 2019, I'd say for the last maybe 6-7 years, this English Standard version has become the hot new version. Now, I'll read this one first. Now, follow along in your King James Bible and watch what's different. Watch what's different. Here we go, ESV. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now, let me read the first part again, and I'll stop where hopefully you'll catch it. I'll read it again. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh. Now, there's more than one change there from what is in your King James Bible, but did you catch the big one? Did you notice there's no mention of God was manifest in the flesh? And instead, it says He was manifest in the flesh. Well, we know that that's God, they would say. Folks, your King James Bible says there's no question who it is. God was manifest in the flesh. If you read this version I just read, it's not definitive. He could be just about anybody that's a male. I mean, really? So, just so deceptive. So when I read that in the ESV and I think about John 1:1, John 1:14, 1 John 4, what did it say over there in 1 John 4 how to tell the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Did the ESV say that? It didn't make it clear who was manifest in the flesh. See how the devil's subtle? One word makes all the difference. Here we go with it. I'll go quickly on this. New American Standard. Here's your New American Standard version. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh. See what they did there? They put He in place of God. So He is not an absolute as to who He is. The New American or the New International Version, NIV. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. I got to stop there. Come on. How simple is your King James compared to that? It's almost like the person that was translating, or the people that were translating, said, we're going to make this sound really good. And in the process, they just messed up the whole thing, didn't they? How clear is your King James? I mean, in just a few words, they said what they had to take more words to say. So here we go again. But beyond all question, the mystery from which God, the true godliness, brings is great. He appeared in the flesh. See what they did? It's not clear who He is. You take out God and you replace it with He. Now you're dealing with another spirit. Here's what's so tricky. Here's what's so subtle. Here's what's so beguiling and deceitful. It says on the spine, Holy Bible, English Standard Version, Holy Bible, New International Version. I wouldn't call that a Bible. That is very deceptive. That is the spirit of Antichrist. That's not the spirit of God. Folks, I hope you understand. Why do we warn you of these things? The devil's subtle. You need to be aware of the truth versus the error. And there's a whole lot of error out there. So make sure you arm yourself with the truth. All right, go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Just to save you some time, I won't go back to 2 Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians 11 said, another Jesus, another spirit. Do you remember the last one? Another gospel. So here's the third point. Another gospel. So let's look at the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at what that is. I hope that if we were to go around the auditorium here this evening, put a microphone in front of your face, put you on the spot, and said, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? I really hope you could answer that. But if you can't, we'll give you the answer right now so that you can answer that. So, 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 3. And you'll see this, 1 Corinthians 15, 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I should have read verse 1. Let me back up there. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So then he goes on to define the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here we go. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Christ died for our sins. That's not all. He was buried. What kind of people do you bury? Dead people. He really died. He really did die. He rose again the third day. He defeated death. Amen. All three of those things, death, burial, resurrection, make up the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only gospel you ought to be preaching, because it's the only true gospel. It's the only gospel that will save you. If you're trusting any other thing besides the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, you're trusting the wrong gospel. There is the gospel defined. I would write, if you write notes in your Bible, write out the side. The gospel of Jesus Christ defined. It's right there in verses 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again. So that is the true gospel. Well, what did 2 Corinthians 11 tell us? It said that there is another gospel. So to start off with, in order to tell another gospel from the true gospel, you need to know what the true gospel is. So that's why I read that. So anything that takes away from what we just read, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it takes away from any of those things, it is another gospel. Or if something is added to what you have to do to be saved, other than trust in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, if anything's added to that, that is also another gospel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at this real quick. Oh boy, we need to sound the trumpet on this. And the reason why is all those cults that I read you about, and oh, so many more that I did not read you about, will preach another gospel. And I'm actually going to go through some of these here in a minute with the ones I gave you, and I'll tell you what they preach. So let's take a look at Galatians 1, just so you understand that there is another gospel being preached besides the one true gospel. Go down there to verse 6, Galatians 1, 6. This is Paul. Again, he was a warning type teacher and preacher. So look at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So any other gospel outside of the death, burial, resurrection, of Jesus Christ is another gospel. And what's what else does he call it there? It's a perverted gospel. Look at verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Look at Paul. He wanted to drive the point home. Look at 9, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He goes on to tell you that that gospel, verse 12, look at verse 12. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He tells you that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not given to him by any man. It was given to him by the Lord himself. And the Lord told him, preach this, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So anything outside of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is another gospel. Even if an angel was to show up and say, the Lord told me this. So let's cover that. Let's go right to that. One of the things I mentioned earlier was Mormonism. Began by a man named Joseph Smith. Are you ready for this? It can't get any nuttier. After reading Galatians chapter 1, guess who showed up to Joseph Smith giving him another gospel? An angel, the angel Moroni. Take off the eye. What do you have? Moroni without the eye. Interesting, isn't it? Folks, you shouldn't be listening to any other gospel preached by anybody else outside of the one that Paul gave to the believers here in Galatia, the one that the Lord gave to him to ultimately give to me and you so that we could be saved. So let me go through some of these. If you would go over to Galatians 2, and I'll read that in a minute after we read some of these cults, but get your finger right there, Galatians 2. Here we go. Let's go through some of these, the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's what they believe about what it takes to be saved. I'll say this again, just for emphasis. Folks, when we talk to people about being saved, we want to drive the point home, all men are sinners, first and foremost. If they are not willing to say, yes, I am a sinner, you can't make any progress with them. Then the next step is you understand that you owe God. You owe God being a sinner. You have a price to pay for your sins being a sinner. You know what the price is? It's the wrath of God, hell for all eternity. That's bad news. If you're, you know, if you're hearing the, well, yes, you never heard it before, it's like, whoa. What have I got myself into? That's good that somebody thinks that, by the way. If they believe, yeah, I'm in trouble. Somebody believes they're in trouble with the Lord. That's good. Then you can give them the good news. Christ died for your sins. He suffered the wrath of God on the cross. He did that so if you'll just trust Him, if you'll call upon Him to save you, understanding that He paid the price for your sins, what do we do, folks? He'll save you. He will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. So here's what the JWs believe. I'll go through some of these. To be saved, you must be baptized as Jehovah's Witness. Is that what we just read? No. You can earn eternal life by going door to door. Come on. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation in heaven is limited to 144,000 anointed ones. And then they've had to change their plan over the years because they filled the bill with 144. You know, the heaven got full, I guess, or the earth got full. I'm not sure how they explain it now, but they've changed their doctrine over the years. Watch out for a teaching that is constantly evolving. It's funny, Sarah and I watched a series of videos on Scientology. And the leader, the current leader of the Church of Scientology came to the place where he said, and he said this to one of the guys that was in the Church of Scientology and he got out. So he was telling the story. He said, the leader came to me one day and he said, hey, we have to create a whole new level for people to achieve in the Church of Scientology. People are achieving the highest level. We have to create a whole new one. A whole new one. That's an evolving doctrine that is obviously a false doctrine. So the JWs, they don't preach the one true gospel. They preach another gospel. Real quick here, the Mormons. Out of love for us, as well as a desire to help us become more like Him, God presented a plan by which we could obtain physical bodies and a period of earthly experience. Now listen carefully because it sounds all nice and flowery. Central to this plan of salvation was the role of Jesus Christ. As the Savior, He would help mankind overcome the costs of our mortal learning, namely sin or separation from God, through repentance, forgiveness, ordinances, keeping covenants, and following His teachings and example. Through Christ, all God's children have the opportunity to ultimately return to His presence. That sounds nice. Did you hear anything missing from that? No death of Jesus Christ, no burial, no resurrection, no believing in the death, burial, resurrection to be saved. A bunch of other flowery sounding stuff, and when it comes down to it, you got to keep the ordinances, you got to keep the covenants, you got to follow His teachings. You know what that is, folks? That's works. That's adding to the gospel. That is another gospel. Real quick here, Scientology. I'll go quickly here. No sin or need to repent in Scientology. Salvation is freedom from reincarnation. One must work with an auditor on his hang-ups to achieve the state of clear and then progress up the bridge to total freedom. Any mention of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ? Not a one. Here's Christian Science. This is a short one again. Humanity is already eternally saved. Any mention of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ there? Not even. New Age movement. You need to offset bad karma with good karma. Tap into supernatural power through meditation, self-awareness, and spirit guides. Wrong kind of spirits. They use terms such as reborn for this new self-awareness. Isn't that interesting? They take a word from your Bible, born again, and they steal it and try to twist it into their own little teaching. Another gospel. Islam. Balance your good and bad deeds so that you can determine, so that your eternal destiny in paradise or hell is determined by Allah. Ultimately, Allah's mercy may tip the balance to heaven as His will is supreme. That's another gospel. All these, another gospel. Finally, Judaism. Judaism believe that prayer, repentance, and obeying the law are necessary for salvation. Other Jews believe that salvation is the improvement of society. Folks, what do you got? All seven of those, and there's so many more. You got another Jesus. You got another spirit. You got another gospel. So let's wrap it up here. Galatians chapter 2. Let's get a little more about the one true gospel. This verse ought to excite you if you're saved. Look at verse 16, Galatians 2. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by what? Folks, your good deeds don't make you right with God. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have, what's that word? Believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Notice that verse. Three times he mentions not justified by the works of the law. Folks, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ requires no work on your part, no work on my part. Jesus Christ did all the work. Amen? So go over there to 2 Corinthians here, and let's just wrap up and just remind you here, and this is a little bit of a warning message, and I warn you because Paul warned these people in Galatia and Corinth, and we need to be warned again. Folks, there's deception out there. You need to make sure, we all need to make sure we keep our nose in the Word of God. Fill your heart with the Word of God so that you are not deceived by the spirit of Antichrist, this other spirit, this other Jesus, and this other gospel. So take a look there, verse 4 again. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, Paul's warning them not to well bear with any man that preached another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Folks, we all need to hear this. I need to hear this as much as anybody. Let's not give any credence to anything outside of the one true Jesus Christ, the one true Holy Spirit of God, the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, let's stick with those things. They're right here in the Bible, and they're very clear. Go down there to verse 14 again, just to warn you again. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Look at this. Whose end shall be according to their works. So, folks, I hope you're on the right side. And I think I'm looking at a crowd that probably is. But, again, we all need the exhortation and the warning. Stay on the right side. Because before you walk out the door, all this thing about another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel, you're under attack. Let's make sure we know what's real and what's not, and use the Word of God as your guide to determine that. All right, so let's pray together here this evening. Lord, thank you for the truth you've given us. Thank you for just revealing some things about the Lord Jesus Christ to us, and the Holy Spirit, and the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, arm us with truth so that we are not deceived. And I pray as we go into this week here that we would be aware of false teachings around us and be ready to expose them with the light of the Word of God. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.